COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Welcome to the Bowden Blitz SEC edition. I'm Joe Lisi, joined by former National Coach of the Year, Terry Bowden. Coach, great games in the conference this past weekend. Upsets, the games right down to the wire, fantastic finishes. The SEC had it this past weekend. Before we do that, though, we'll look at the updated odds entering week number six. We have had a little bit of a change at the top. Alabama now sitting alone at plus 260, followed by the Texas Longhorns and then the Georgia Bulldogs. This is a wide open conference for an SEC championship. Is the SEC still the conference to beat when you look at college football 2025?
I don't think I can honestly say at the top of the SEC that is any stronger than the top of the Big Ten right now. The top of the Big Ten with Oregon and Penn State and even Indiana, Illinois, and some of these other teams, it's getting very close as being as strong. I still think the SEC is strong from top to bottom, but I think it's a pretty good battle. But clearly, the SEC, although they don't have as many top three or four teams, you've got three very, very talented teams, maybe four, that still have a lot of talent, that are still being in the hunt for the conference championship. And so, again, I would say the SEC is still just as likely to have somebody in the championship game as the Big Ten, but it's pretty even.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing when I look at the conference and I watch all the games on Saturday is that it used to be Georgia, Alabama, LSU. You want to throw in Tennessee into the mix, maybe top heavy, as just being the three or four teams from an offense and defensive line perspective that could just dominate on any given Saturday. And now you're seeing teams like Ole Miss. You're seeing teams like Mississippi State and some of the other teams, A&M now all of a sudden making some noise. That on any given Saturday, if you don't bring your A game, you could get clipped and you could get upset. Just the way Alabama lost to Vanderbilt last year, and it happened again this past weekend with games going right down to the final couple of minutes. Do you see that as well, that we're starting to see from top to bottom in the SEC that those teams that were just doormats for years are now recruiting, getting in transfer talent, and now competing with the tops of the conference, the likes of Alabama, Georgia, and Texas, respectively?
Oh, no, I think it's a much more balanced conference. The Deep South, where college football's king. NFL's not king. Basketball's not king. College football is king. And people do whatever they can to be successful. In the old days, the boosters might have done too much. But now that there's an NFL, you'll see Mississippi State, they're out there doing a great job. Vandy has admitted saying, okay, we're opening up our NFL package and bringing in good players. And now everybody's committed to bringing in players that you might not normally have gotten to compete with those top two or three teams. And that's why I'm dying to see Alabama Vandy again this week and some of these other games, because you see so much parity in the conference. And I think that's just the way college football's going, is that the teams that don't usually get the very best high school players, they're now able to go out there and get the very best players on everybody else's team that are not willing to pay the money that they are. And you see so many of these SEC teams, if Mississippi State will give an example, there's not a more improved team in the country this year in any conference to me than Mississippi State.
Yeah, Mississippi State covers as a 7.5-point home dog against Tennessee. I mean, the game goes right into overtime. They lose it by 7 points. Bad clock management by both teams in the final quarter. They could have pulled it out and potentially won it. But to your point, you're right. I think the team that benefited the most this weekend didn't even play with, and that was the Texas Longhorns that had a bye. I mean, you see Georgia get upset. You see LSU get knocked off, even though, you know, they were on the road. I mean, that is, I think the measuring stick for some of these teams is that you can't count any of these games as a W anymore. You have to play consistent offensively and defensively. And again, if you're turnover prone, your quarterback doesn't step up, you're going to get knocked off and potentially knocked out of an SEC championship type of game, or more importantly, a college football playoff appearance. And that's where we saw potentially Georgia and LSU slip up this past weekend. Give me your thoughts just about the style and both of those games as a whole before we dive into them.
Well, what we're seeing is the quarterback play becomes so important. And I do think we as fans, maybe as voters in some of these voting polls, we're still enamored with the name teams. We just say, we assume that this team is going to have better talent than that team, or this team is not, they never get there. And we have to admit that in the last 3 or 4 years, NIL portal transfer has changed all of that. I mean, Ole Miss was a prime example. They could have beaten LSU worse. Now, I've been on LSU's, I've been riding them pretty hard, but I'm not seeing enough of what they're doing, but I'm also seeing a lot more. I mean, here's Ole Miss not getting one quarterback, but getting two quarterbacks out of the portal. And the backup is pretty dang good. And so it's made it more even. And I think, like Texas, we haven't seen much about them since they lost that game to Ohio State. We're going to start seeing. They play Florida. They better be ready, because with all the tough luck Florida's had, those suckers can still play defense.
Absolutely. I think it also wide open SEC race. It's a wide open Heisman race when you look at it. You brought up Ole Miss's victory over LSU. Trinidad Chambliss is now a name that all of a sudden we have to see. He was 50-1 at the start of the weekend, now down to 12-1. He has another dynamic performance, over 280 passing yards in the game. He abused LSU on the ground with his legs. And again, him and Diego Pavia have an opportunity to really set the bar and separate themselves the bigger wins that they have on their resume. Pavia does play Alabama this weekend. Trinidad Chambliss still has big games down the road. But again, they played the way they have up until this point, and their teams are still undefeated. These are two names now, not household names at the start of the year, that had great value and can only close the gap now on Ty Simpson.
Right, Ty Simpson. That was a name we didn't mention much before. And don't forget Joey Aguilar. They're still throwing the ball and playing well. They lost that one game to Georgia. They're still in the hunt. So it's kind of each week as you see somebody get hot, that guy's going to move up in the voting. And now it's going to take, you know, what you look for now are the oddities or the things that are unusual. Chambliss at Ole Miss played at Ferris State, a Division II guy. That kind of gets people excited. Something different there. Or a Joey Aguilar, if they come on and keep on winning, a guy that moved up from Appalachian State. So I think a lot of these guys, as they go through the season, as teams begin to win or lose, you're going to see this thing switch, but it's starting to get narrowed down. And as a great quarterback, you still got to ride a great football team. You've got to be on a team that can get you to the top.
I agree 100%. And Gunnar Stockton, I still think, is in the mix. We'll see, because the Bulldogs do face off against the likes of Auburn, Florida. There's some still big games. Georgia Tech is on their schedule. We'll see if Gunnar Stockton could bounce off the mat and get himself and the team back in national championship contention. For Garrett Nussmeier and LSU, though, Coach, terrible performance, didn't live up to the hype. We're hearing rumblings potentially that he's hurt. From what you saw on Saturday, any you know, buy into that Garrett Nussmeier potentially has a torn oblique or a hurt torso that he's not playing well?
You know, that could be, but look at them. They're the same problem as last year. They ran for 58 yards. And now you got to win it with the quarterback. Let me say this. Sometimes an offensive system or scheme or the coordinator or the play caller, that's not the way he wants to win. He wants to win the old methodical way. And so when you can't run, they don't do a good job of letting the quarterback take over. Now, he hasn't played his best, but he didn't play terrible. He didn't go out there and win it by himself. But you run for 58 yards and you're an LSU type of team, you're going to have a quarter. You're going to have a tough time as a quarterback because you're going to be throwing in long yardage situations.
Absolutely. When Coach and I return, we'll break down those two big battles, Alabama and Georgia and LSU, Ole Miss, coming right back on the Bowden Blitz.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi and Coach Bowden breaking down week 5 in the SEC. No bigger game than the battle in Athens. Unbeaten Georgia was a 2.5-point home favorite over the Alabama Crimson Tide. Ty Simpson and the crew walked in there, Coach. They played their best game in the regular season and snapped Georgia's 33-game home winning streak. They win the ball game outright 24-21. An A-plus effort for Kalen DeBoer, second year in the row that he's gotten the best of Kirby Smart and the Bulldogs.
Yeah, did a great job. And that was the thing I came away with, that Alabama played much more like the championship teams of Alabama of old that we saw. It was a huge game. Kalen DeBoer knew he had to get them moving in that direction. He couldn't do it without a win over Georgia. I think Georgia, and I'm not sure Kirby Smart plays a little apprehensive against Alabama. He knows it's been a nemesis to him. He doesn't want to turn the ball over. He want to run the ball. Don't make mistakes. Don't give up the deep ball, and all of a sudden you play too deep and you give up a lot of underneath throws. And I think he played, and yet the way Kirby played, at 4th-and-1 in the fourth quarter, he had a chance to go ahead and win the game and run for a million yards, 6.9 yards a carry, a play. But I just still think he's playing almost like he's the underdog and Alabama is the favorite team, and he doesn't want to mess it up.
Absolutely. I think the biggest thing for me, it was the performance of Ty Simpson. He steps 24 of 38. He throws for 276 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. He looked like a different quarterback on the road based off the week 1 performance and the loss against Florida State. This team looked prepared. They started fast, which I thought was important to put the pressure on Gunnar Stockton and the Georgia offense to match them score for score. The other thing, too, I just think that Alabama's wide receivers, Bernard, Williams, they were just a little bit better than what we saw from an offensive perspective, right? And I thought that's where the game was won or lost. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the talent at the wideout position and their ability to make extra yardage after they catch it, to get open underneath, kept Alabama on their heels all day. And then Ty Simpson. You know, Ty Simpson to me reminds me of what we thought about C.J. Carr at Notre Dame. Had all the look of a quarterback, the background of a good quarterback, does all the right things, but we hadn't seen enough of him yet. The more we see of Ty Simpson, the more you like him. He fits into that. This guy looks like a quarterback, acts like a quarterback, and he gets the ball. He dishes off to people that make plays for him instead of having to make plays himself. Kind of. And Gunnar Stockton did not do bad. I just don't see they got one sack the entire game. I think either none or one against Alabama, and just not at the pressure that we're used to seeing the great defensive line put on opponents' quarterbacks.
Gunnar Stockton completes 13 of 20 for 130 yards, 1 touchdown, no interceptions. Georgia does rush for over 200 yards, over 6 yards per carry. Is the first loss, Coach, dating back to 2016, that the Bulldogs have rushed for over 200 yards and lost the ball game. It was the first time dating back to 2016. They are now 51-1. Straight up against FCS and FBS opponents. Defense played well. They held Alabama to only 117 yards on the ground, 3.1 yards per carry. I think in a rematch type of situation, we'll see if Kirby Smart and the Bulldogs play a little bit differently should they both get to the SEC championship game. One of the best games of the day took place in the Grove. LSU jumps out to a 7-0 early lead against Trinidad Chambliss and the Ole Miss Rebels. All Lane Kiffin did in that offense was make adjustments. They started to expose LSU's defense over the top, running and throwing. They account for over 400 yards of total offense, and they steal this one. They were favored in that matchup, Coach, by 1.5. They win it going away, basically, 24-19. Dominant effort in the second half by the Rebels.
Yeah, it could have been worse. They just outplayed LSU. LSU now is facing a lot of problems. It reminds me of when I watch Auburn, and that's a different situation. They're not running the ball at all. They're not getting performance out of a quarterback that needs to give them more. Well, they rush for 58 yards. And when you do that, you're going to have problems at LSU. You're going to put a quarterback like Nussmeier, who's not a athletic type of scrambler. He's a more of a quarterback that can run well, but he's not going to run away from people. Now, he gets the bind, and he gets a lot of gripe because he doesn't do enough to win the game. But I'll be honest with you. Ole Miss calls plays, runs an offense like they're trying to go out there and win the game. LSU is like they're not trying to lose it. And I just don't see enough coming out of innovation, coming out of LSU's offense, and they've got themselves in a bind. Whereas, and I didn't think the freshman quarterback, the transfer quarterback, he's an SEC freshman anyway. We're talking about Tristan Chambliss out of Ferris State. He played like a pro. I mean, he can run. He can throw. He's going to have an interception every now and then, but he's going to make so many positive plays. He just looked like the big dog out there and made it happen. I guarantee it. They're looking like that he can take them to an SEC championship, and it's an amazing story with this quarterback for Ole Miss.
Yeah, he averages 5.1 yards per rush, 71 yards on the ground. A couple of things that stood out for me. Now, LSU did have an injury to their starting wide receiver, Aaron Anderson. He goes out in the second quarter of that matchup. That was a critical injury that they could not recover from. You mentioned the rushing attack. Penalties killed the Tigers. 45
again,
total yards of penalties on one drive to allow Ole Miss to score really changed the momentum. They had a second down and 20, basically. Ole Miss inside their five-yard line, and they couldn't get out of there and force a punt, and that was a critical reason why Ole Miss was able to pull it out. The other factor, and we'll go back to last year, a mobile quarterback seemed to abuse the LSU defense with Blake Baker, Marcel Reed, Jalen Milroe. Mobile guys can get on the perimeter, and Chambliss did that, especially in the second half, sustaining drives. That's something if we're looking, LSU has to face off against Marcel Reed and Texas A&M right now. If they're going to get back into the playoff hunt and the SEC championship hunt, they need to adjust defensively right now.
Yeah, I mean, nowadays, I mean, this is nothing new. We're not preaching something that nobody else has figured out. You got to stop a dual threat quarterback. That's why everybody wants one. And then if you have one, you got to have a plan to stop them. If you don't, the same thing's going to happen to you that happened in LSU.
Yeah, when we come back, we'll look at the two or three biggest games in Week 6 right here on the Bowden Blitz. Joe Lisi and Coach Bowden coming right back.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi and Coach Bowden going to take a look at week number 6 in the SEC. It's a rematch of last year. Vanderbilt struck the upset as a double-digit underdog in Nashville. They come now on the road catching 10.5 points against Alabama. Diego Pavia and the crew snapped a 23-game winning streak by Alabama over the Crimson, over the Commodores last year. This offense is humming. They put up 50 plus points against Utah State. Now they're catching 10.5 on the road. Are the Commodores live in Tuscaloosa this weekend?
Well, I'm going to tell you, you better expect them to be. I mean, the way they're playing and the many times we all have said, it's going to run out, the luck's going to run out, or people are going to start taking them seriously, or things aren't, the ball's not going to bounce their way. Forget all that stuff. This is a very good football team. Diego Pavia is one of the best quarterbacks in the conference. I'm not talking about NFL. I'm not sure where that stands is. I'm talking about leading with their football team. Kind of like Haynes King for Georgia Tech. That's how Diego Pavia is at Vanderbilt. He makes things happen. He's confident. He understands the system, and he runs it well. And I'm going to be honest with you, it's a contending type team. This is a great football game. And it's one Alabama went out there after beating Georgia last year, came back and just Vanderbilt ruined their season practically, or ruined the direction of their program. I think the one difference this year, Alabama clearly knows exactly what's on the line and how good this team is, and there will be no uncertainty about the quality of the opponent or the bigness of the game.
We talked about Diego Pavia playing lights out, completing over 70% of his passes. He's a dual threat, 13 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, Coach. But it's not just the Vanderbilt offense that's averaging 49 points per game. Clark Lee has done a fantastic job on the defensive side of the ball. This defense enters this matchup only allowing 17 points per game, which has allowed them to go toe-to-toe with some of the better teams on their schedule. Catching 10.5 points, Ty Simpson's going to have to make some plays over the top. Playing at home, all the pressure now is back on Alabama, even though they got this road win against Georgia this past Saturday. Again, they're going to be in a dogfight come Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, but they ought to. I mean, they had pressure going to Georgia. This team lost to Florida State, and that fan base has been on those guys, on those coaches. Every player, there's tension. And you know when you got to win every single game you play. And so that's established. That's what's facing them. And after losing to Vanderbilt, you know good and well, those players know all week what's in store for them. And what they've got to go out there is put the same type of game together that they had against Georgia. The plan isn't hard. You just got to execute it. You got to go out there and play like you did against Georgia. Come out strong in the beginning of the play. Don't fall behind against Vanderbilt because you may not catch up.
Diego Pavia and Vanderbilt, like we said, this offense is hitting on all cylinders. They put up 50 plus points against Utah State. They got the win, but no cover. You see this total at 56.5 with the type of talent that Vanderbilt possesses offensively. And knowing what Alabama did against a very good defense against Georgia, this game potentially could get into the 60s Saturday afternoon.
Absolutely, and the way Vanderbilt plays, I love the I'd like to take Vandy in the points too. I like 10.5 points with me and this Vandy team is because I think of how well they've played against everybody they play against. They don't have a bad game. They've got a, like I say, great leadership. The head coach has them pumped up for the game. Reminds me of Georgia Tech over there in the ACC. They got a quarterback that's just like that. They've got a team that plays together. It's a smart football team with a smart offense, and it's a spread option type, and it's a problem. And so I'll wait till later on to pick the winner in this one. But I tell you, Alabama better have a great week of practice.
Yeah, we'll break down that game a little bit later in the week. The final game that we'll preview is another game in Georgia. They just lost their 33-game home winning streak. They're laying 20.5 to Kentucky. From a mindset perspective, Coach, what is Kirby Smart telling his team? They get an opponent that they should beat up. Kentucky is 0-2 in the conference. This seems like a perfect spot to get right against the Wildcats.
Yeah, I mean, you don't ever want to lose to Alabama, but if you could ever figure out how to prepare yourself for the next team, that pretty much got their mindset right against Kentucky. So I think Georgia will have their minds right. They've got to go out there and not fall behind and go out and take a charge of this football game and get back in the groove, because I'm going to tell you, Georgia has still got a very good team, and we didn't talk about it, but there was a 4th-and-1 call that Kirby Smart made, possibly incorrectly. He would have won that game against Alabama going into this game. So here's a big one. He's got to win.
For Coach Bowden, I'm Joe Lisi. We'll see you later in the week on the Bowden Blitz. Have a great day, everyone.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.